for the county that we live in and represent on this board. Father, we thank you for our staff and for all our commissioners, our citizens. Ask the Lord, whatever we accomplish here today, will be in accordance with your will, and we give you all the honor and praise. Of course, in Christ's name we ask it.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good afternoon. We have one item on our agenda this afternoon, and that is the vote to discuss potential projects for submission to the Gulf Consortium for Restore Act funding. And before us, we have a list of properties that have been submitted.
Yes, I'll get you started. We were asked by the Gulf Consortium to have a list of board-approved projects for their next meeting, which will be until next week at the conference. I know a number of y'all will want to start going to. That will be the next consortium meeting down there. I guess they're anticipating all the 20-something counties have their projects. They'll look over them, they'll hand them off their consultants. I understand our consultants will be contacting us back here in the months of July and August. They're looking to have all the consortium projects submitted to the Department of Treasury by the end of August sometime. So we were asked to do this, and we're on schedule to do so. What we did is we've taken some sites from y'all, from citizens' input, staff, whatever. We have a list in front of you that I understand probably the best way to do it is just take them one at a time. They're really in no particular order. We'll go down that list that we gave you, though, and we listed out a few pros and cons off the side just to get the discussion started. And what I'd like to, or hope to anticipate, is that on each item you present, y'all discuss it, and maybe it by consensus vote of some kind or another. Are we going to move that project forward to the consortium meeting next week? Or is it something that the board's not excited about or doesn't want to see? And y'all can certainly take it off. Now, for tonight's meeting, we have an agenda item for you to approve what's done in the workshop. So we certainly don't make a decision workshop, but if we had some consensus on what to move forward, then tonight you'll vote on moving that policy forward.
Okay, question. Is there a certain number that we are to choose, or can we choose them all, or what's the process?
You could choose them all, you could winnow it down, whatever, what do you want to do? This BP money is going to come to the county at about a cumulative amount of $12.4 million. It will come to the consortium's control first, and the consortium will decide how it's divvied out to the counties. Some counties may get in front of the line. If they've got projects, they can move forward quickly. Some counties may be at the back of the line. I'm hearing a lot of water sewer projects for bigger counties. They may need permitting. They may need for them to get right-of-way permits, whatever. Some counties may be at the back of the line. It may be better for them to be back of the line as they're building up money to do what they need to do.
Okay, would it be a disadvantage if we submitted all of these, or would it be more advantageous if we picked two or three or whatever?
I don't know that it really matters too much. This is an initial list. You're going to have to make harder decisions later as you go along, whether you want to do this one first over the other ones, or some of them we may not even be able to obtain the property. Some properties we may not. There's going to be thresholds, like appraisals that have to be done. Some of them may not come in under appraisals. We just don't know. So I don't know that it's so critical to tune the list down at this time, but it's certainly you want to take some off that you have no interest in whatsoever, you don't see a benefit for, or whatever. So.
Okay. For the interest of the public that's here, once these are submitted, then briefly, what's the process after that?
Okay, just like I said, okay. Once we approve them tonight, then we will submit them to the consortium meeting next week, give it to them. Their consultants will take all the county projects. I understand they're going to be back in touch with us during the months of July and August to fine-tune them and get them ready, write them up for submission to Treasury. I'm sure they'll be submitted in certain forms or whatever. So.
Okay, and the
And on the list that I'm looking at, it looks like that it's mostly for land acquisition.
Correct.
But we could add something else this evening, right?
You could. I would caution you, though, that I would like to see land acquisitions in a component set aside for monies to improve these lands that we acquire. If we want to improve boat ramps or get monies to leverage out other grants we may get. You can submit more projects, certainly, but they cautioned us that not to submit too many because our big project will require a certain amount of efforts, but a little project will require the same amount of efforts as as the consultants write it up and submit that 70-page report or whatever. They'll be doing that on a small project just as they would on a group project like this.
Any other questions from the board?
What effort was made by your staff, yourself, or the commission to obtain this list?
We solicited you at one of your meetings previously.
I know, but what, is that the only effort we made?
I don't know. We had citizens call us and put stuff on. We haven't advertised or anything like that.
You advertised?
No, sir. We did not need advertisers in meeting. We didn't advertise the project, sir.
So there may be other properties out there that are available that we don't know about.
There may be. You certainly can add any time as this process is going forward. You can add other projects even as years go down the road, what I understand. So this isn't the definitive be-all, end-all.
From what I'm gathering from you, we can submit them all.
You can.
But it would be better if we submitted what we call the top choices.
I don't know that it would be better. The whole process is going to be an elimination process as we go along. I'm just saying that it might be better if you see some on this list that you're not interested in at all. None of y'all have any interest. Let's just go ahead and take them off so that down the road,
makes sense,
they won't be there.
Any other questions from the board?
If not, I'll sit down and we'll just kind of go over these one at a time. All right. The first one on your list is the Hutchins property. And Kenneth is here to help me because I'm not as familiar as he is with some of these. The Hutchins property, it has a pros, and that is size of the parcel, has access to the Gulf, and is in a good location. Three of the cons, working with Kenneth earlier today, there's a structure on the site, there's limited water access, and it would require some dredging to make it accessible for the water.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Limited access, what do you mean by that?
And I'll refer to Kent on some of this. He's more familiar with the problem.
You can come up.
We can hear you good then.
Our perspective on limited water access would be that you have times of the tidal range that it's easily accessible and times of the tidal range that it's not. So limited water access would be that you really have to rely on your higher tides in order to have convenient access the way it is today. That's why you saw as a con that you would require some dredging. Dredging in this area would probably require that you go from the shoreline out to probably coincident with Sponge Point, somewhere around that location before you got in water deep enough to draft at your lower tides. Probably even the shark holes, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
Probability of permitting dredging in the seagrass preserves, I'm under the impression it's very low.
Obviously, it's a hurdle. Pruitt, they tried and they were well on their way. They got to the point to where other issues happened, and I think they just kind of absolved their pursuit of that. But the thinking would be for any of these properties that have a dredging component to it, that's going to be common to every one of those. So perhaps you may need to look at a piece of property that has more positives or more aspects that you see as a necessity to achieve your objective, realizing that one impediment is going to be consistent with each of those properties that have a dredging need.
I know you probably can't tell me this, but do you have any idea
either one of y'all on these, any idea of what the cost would be to get to where we would need it to be?
He asked that earlier, and it's that's actually, Mr. Lakey asked, said, you know, how much we're going to put to land and how much we're going to put towards improvements, and I said, it depends. You know, it depends obviously on what your property that you're looking at for a purchase price, whether that's state appraisal or the asking price, and then which property we're looking at with respect to infrastructure. You know, is it off of an existing improved roadway? Does it require additional dockage? Does it require shoreline stabilization? Does it require all of this? That I think it would get to the point, and I kind of like the prioritization aspect. He doesn't want to prioritize at this point in time. But to me, being an engineer, I kind of want to say that, look, this has the most positives, this has the least or the most negatives. So I'm going to kind of mentally rank those on which one I think achieves that objective. And then I'd say maybe your top three, you start looking at a little more in depth and saying, okay, which one of these has the greatest bang for the buck that I can invest the least and still achieve the most?
See, that was going to be my next line of questioning. Had you graded these, since you're the engineer, you know.
The answer's no.
But you know more about what it's going to take to bring this to where it needs to be versus me.
Well, and being truthful with you, you know, we laid them out and it was like, you're trying to think of everything that you're trying to achieve. Obviously, we've got a congested aspect to keep. We've got congestion at Steen Hatchie. The more we cram into those areas, the more we exacerbate those problems. So, can we provide deep water access? And that's a main objective, is deep water access for our public in areas that kind of decentralize that congestion. And that's kind of one of your main focuses. So what properties are available that maybe kind of disperse the activity or the congestion a little more along our coastline? And then which ones bring us properties that, or portions of the property that lend itself to the needed footprint? Your Keaton Beach boat ramp is right around 4 acres. That's kind of what I suggested is your litmus test. If you're looking at putting in a single lane ramp, the design values are 50 persons per lane. All right, if you're going to want to put in two, that's 100 persons per lane. So, if we're going to try and achieve a two-lane boat ramp somewhere to alleviate kind of this congestion, we've got 45, 47, somewhere like that, parking spaces on the south side of the beach road for the Keaton boat ramp, and then there's another 52 on the other side. So that's the kind of footprint size you're going to be looking at. Mm-hmm. So wanting to decentralize, wanting to locate close to existing infrastructure, which properties kind of have that, have those options available? And so with that mindset, we kind of said, okay, this one looks like it's probably the closest. Then this one is probably the next closest, the next closest, the next closest. Just trying to be objective about what we were doing, irrespective of who owns it or where it's, you know, what the price is. We don't know any of that now. But this one looks like it'd be the easiest to improve and gain everything that we'd like to do under this whole venture here. So that's how we kind of laid them out, is which one is the easiest to which one maybe doesn't serve as much of the need as we're after at this time.
But you didn't want to stick your neck out and say which one's most worth it, right?
My neck has been stuck out with a piece of paper that's in front of you, but, you know, did we rank them? No, ma'am, we didn't put a number.
We talked about this.
Yeah, I did.
Kenneth, as an engineer, would like to rank them.
I'm trying to pin them down.
My more political side of things is if we rank them and we have number one, there's going to be an expectation we're after number one. And that expectation may raise the property, may raise the price of number one, or there may be citizens out there that say, well, you're going to do number one. How'd you end up doing number three as we go down the road?
I totally understand yeah. that. It's just that I'm just looking for all the help that this board can get. And you've provided a lot of good data.
The reality is there is a number one. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it's a number one because it has the best benefits and the least impediments. That's the reality of it. Yes.
What I wanted to make is I think you said what I heard you say. That our primary purpose is to provide deep water access in another part of the boating public, kayakers in particular, that are tidal free, in a place where they can come in and do their and is very desirable for that portion of the voting public. You know, there's several of these properties that have creeks going into them that you can take a small boat fishing, and in 5 minutes you can be catching a redfish, even though it's not deep water access. Those need to be considered also.
And the only reason I would say that I wouldn't really focus so much on isolating just on a canoe and kayak is because there's really no prohibition once you were to get a site that would accommodate deep water access that it would prohibit the joint location of a canoe and kayak. You know, that was one of the original objectives from the Steam Hatchet Boat Ramp from the early inception, and what we were focused on was a canoe and kayak on the eastern side of that, and hopefully when we go through that whatever pot it is of the Restore Act money, you know, we focused on dredging that eastern basin so that we can kind of open that area up, that lends itself to then putting in your canoe and kayak points of access that was originally desired. So I would just say that, you know, you focus on canoe and kayaks, you've prohibited deep water access, typically, if you're focused on tidal creeks. The reverse isn't true. If you provide deep water access, then you still offer an opportunity for canoe and kayaks.
But is it any more difficult to dredge a tidal creek than it is an open seagrass area like at the Pleasant property? Is the permitting and probability that you get...
I'm sure seagrass is that magic word that makes it difficult, you know, with replanting and mitigation efforts that you're going to have to go through versus just a sandy bottom area. Yeah, I'm sure it is easier to go through a sand creek as opposed to a vegetated area. I mean, it just seems logical. And I don't know if it's on the list. I had mentioned it this morning. Kind of a great catch-all is, and it just came to my mind this morning, was the Hagen's Cove area. You know, you kind of get the added benefit of a state park. And if we're going to go the hurdle of trying to do some dredging, Hagen's Cove has a pretty good dirt area or sandy area there, and then you get into the grasses as you kind of move a little out. But, you know, who better to have at our side when we approach the governor and the cabinet to ask for a dredging than the state of Florida? Mm-hmm. You know, so, and the tidal creeks, you know, you can't go to Hagen's Cove very often and not see kayaks in that area to achieve that. So, you know, it's a possibility. You know, should it make it to the list? That's my opinion. I think it should, but, you know, it's just, you have to think of all these things and then just come up with that main little rose that smells and sweetens.
And the state may give us permission to use it.
I would think that we could just about leverage our investment into the capital improvements and still leave it as a state park and not necessarily have a maintenance obligation, is what I was thinking more like. So just a thought. I still think you'd have to go all the way out to Sponge Point to get to a point to where you could draft.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, there's only one little notch that's cut out of the Big Bend Seagrass Aquatic Preserve, and it's right up there at the mouth of Ben Hollow Act. Mm-hmm. But what I was saying earlier is that if you know and realize that any of these areas that we're looking at that have that dredging component to it, if it's common to all, then that's a point that I don't need to consider because I got to cross that hurdle at some point in time. So if I got to have it for this property, so what? You know, I have it for this, and this one. So I start looking at the other aspects. You know, how much money and how practical is it to improve this property to achieve our objective, whether that's deep water or shallow water?
I was going to say,
I really understand for this one.
And Kenneth will agree with me on this. He's been out there. That front section property, rocks about that far in the sand. And if you dredge the canal there, it wouldn't be dredging, it'd be removing rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if Dr. Pruitt couldn't get a permit to go across the seagrass bed, I know we can't. Right. So, I mean, we need to kind of eliminate the thing that it's going to take dredging through rock and seagrass. We need to stick with the creeks there. We need to stick with a channel that's been used. You can get a permit for a used channel a lot easier than you get to start a new county. And that kind of thing is what we need to. You feel the same way?
I sympathize with it. I've swam in Fish Creek many a day with a spear gun. And, you know, if you look at the Keaton Channel, it's not a straight path. You know, so that doesn't prohibit you from needing to navigate around some of those obstructions if they're there. We're doing the bird racks right now, and I'm 5.5 miles offshore, and we hit a rock. You know, so rocks are there. But to think about, you know, staying within a creek, most any creek you see down there, you're going to have sand within those creeks, and then you'll come out and they'll be at the delta, you'll see more sand. What's right behind that delta? Seagrass. You know, in order to get to a draftable depth, you're going to have to address dredging in a seagrass area at some point in time. Thinking about trying to further invest into existing canals, it almost seems like we're just trying to cram so much down the throat of that Keaton Canal as it is. One of the properties, and I don't even know if it's available, it's just it's a beautiful site, is the Hamden that's on the backside of it. Kind of gets you out of the main channel, but it gets you to the mouth of the Army Corps channel. So, I mean, you're kind of taking the best of both worlds. But trying just to push and push and push more into that Keaton Beach community down that one channel, I had a fellow tell me it took him an hour and a half to get out of the water. And that was because he let his wife get out of the boat, walk up there and get his vehicle in a queue on this past Saturday. Right. So putting more boats into that location, I don't think is the solution.
I don't need it. I think we need to spread them out. Spring Warrior, there's a million fishing boat goes out there every day of the year. Comes and goes. Some boats, when you got northeast wind in the wintertime, it's hard to come and go. You got to wait on your tide with a big boat. But I live off Boy Road there, off Spring, you know, Bucket Road, and I pass them boats coming and going there all year long, every day.
Well, you'll see some of the pros on that. 2 weeks ago and the 2 weeks prior, we were working on the Spring Warrior River entrance marker in the Finn Holloway, and I went out of that river every day. And I never experienced a problem coming at any tidal range, with the understanding that when you get to where you pass the last house and make your straight run and you have to hook to the right, you really need to hug that channel marker, because if you don't, you're going to hit the oyster bar on the left. So what we put on there was that that property could really benefit from limited dredging or from some spot dredging. So if you open that throat up, the person who is a little bit more unfamiliar with the area wouldn't have as much of a concern if you could kind of open those throats.
You had a gap there, channel markers on both sides of the air going there. They could make that orchard jump right there without
any problem. Yeah, I mean, we were just two people, but you know, we tried to get that broad mindset of, based on our familiarity, is this a good place or is this place better? Realizing all of them have pros and cons.
And it's a perfect place for kayaks too.
It was really nice. The place is beautiful. I took several pictures just when I was down there. I mean, and I fished and swam and all mostly from there south. So, and I now we've moved up to the Eakin Fina, and holy cow, that place up there is gorgeous.
Right. You take Bird Island, for instance. They got a channel that they've used, and they've worked on that channel over the years. That channel could be worked with a permit a lot easier than starting off at Higgins Cove or starting off in front of Ocean Property or something like that. You know, I mean, it's got a big marsh creek that comes out and flushes that out, you know, and that kind of thing. When they go to get a permit, Corps of Engineers, then DEP looks at a flushing process for any kind of channel. You just start on the dry hill and try to dig a channel out there, you know, there's no flood.
That's what kept us from when we were trying to do that private-public partnership over on the west side on the, whatever it is, Gulf something condos on the west end of Steen Hatchie, is when we were bringing the channel up into a basin and putting siding a marina facility is what that was going to be, in the uplands. We couldn't get sufficient flushing, and it was going to take an active system, which meant you had to have pumps to turn the water over, which obviously is going to be a present that's going to keep on costing from here on.
And that's a key issue with a permit.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I've been there and done that with a permit, and that was a question the Corps asked him, DEP asked.
And that's where you kind of get away from it when you have these cove or these bay type properties that, you know, that becomes less of an option.
That's the reason the big beach canal has got a ditch dug all the way to the creek up there, all the way to the culverts there on Jug Island Road to flush that channel. When the Corps of Engineers built that channel, they dug that ditch all the way out there to flush that channel, keep that seaweed washed out when the tide turned, where it wouldn't fill up with all that mud in the bottom. Yeah.
One of the most beautiful properties on the list to me, this is just a personal thing, is the Yates Creek property.
Which one?
The park property, where you put your boat in. And I go down there, four or five times a year. I hardly ever go there. There's about a half dozen boats and trailers. And even though it's not an improved boat ramp there, that could be added, with a third out ramp, 291 boat ramp.
We have that as a
property. It's a very good property. And the only downside that I see from what you got here is it's limited parking. But there's parking, a quarter of a mile up the road where Fish used to have his old camp there. I think it's a little high island. That could be made in parking. And you can walk down the road to get your boat.
You could probably mitigate from other properties.
Mitigate some other property and make a little bigger parking lot.
You could probably get a permit to fill some of that in if you had the right kind of bulkhead and the right kind of process to fill
it. I know people in Perry that they get on work 5 o'clock, in 15 minutes you get to Creek, and then 4 minutes you're out here where you can, when the tide's right.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go back and start with the first one, Hutchison property? And then we'll go down the list, and I guess as we go through each one, we can decide if we want to keep that on the list or if we want to eliminate it off the list. And so let's go back to Hutchinson's. Are there any more questions or comments or anything about Hutchinson's property?
Well, I went up to the property appraiser's office, and there was a deep water area that goes straight out from that. It's been there for years and years and years. And told it to Kelly, as a matter of fact.
I know that there's a large trough out there in front of Doc Hutchins because we make that drift routinely. And it kind of shallows up into a grassy area just before you get to the shark holes, and then you obviously hit your deeper water. As you get more towards Tolzal Place or the Fish Creek area, that's where you get into your shallow flats. So I mean there's some decent depth there. Are you going to get down to the -6 elevation like we have the Keaton Channel? Probably not without some limited dredging, but obviously the most that you can minimize that, the better off you are. But I mean I know it to be deep in that area, but you have to get up and go in order to get out at low tide. You have to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
And there's a chance down the road, and this has been talked by environmental groups, to get where you can't run a boat through that grass bed out there. But you'll be able to use the channel to exist in creek. I mean, that's something that they keep talking. And I mean, I read an article just recently about that. They'd love, just like salt season, there'll be trails cut all through that grass bed out there from salt. Boats scalping at low tide and leaving out. You've seen it in play, and out of scalping clean.
And that's when we probably go back to some of the historical aerials. And the way the Fish Creek Channel comes out, it zigzags and makes a horizontal go towards Bird Island, and then it makes its final. When you hit that left pole, that last pole, you hang a left and go straight out. Mm-hmm. You could go from Hutchins and kind of intersect that to kind of limit your non-channelized access or boat access. I mean, all of this is excellent open discussion, and I think that's what Mr. Lake envisioned for each of these properties, but we probably need to move quicker.
Would there be plenty of room there for parking?
Best I recall, when we did, we focused on this property a lot when we were back doing land use classification discussions and Scrivener's error, and this was classified as this versus that. And I remember 14 acres worth of uplands is what I remember. I mean, the overall site was 20-something, but only 14 of that, and that's basically your grassed areas. And
That'd be a pretty good sized parking lot.
And that's why it's at the top. I mean, because it affords a lot of positives. You know, the one negative is you got an existing house there that's on the property. But, you know, maybe it could be co-located as a marine agent facility. Or it could be a lease venture with a maritime store or something like that. You know, the dredging is going to happen anywhere you go, I think.
I don't want to see that thrown away.
I don't want it to take trees because I love fishing that area, and I hate to see the general public just ingest that area.
I don't take trees. We need to think about these properties. You know, if we buy a situation, they're coming off the tax roll. This is a valuable piece of property, Dr. Hudson says. Think about a big hotel there. We can't see that too, except for the tax reasons. But I don't know if a boat ramp and a parking lot is the best one. High use of that property.
That's why you're on that side of the table.
That's why we're on this side of the table.
I think our focus was on the water accessibility and not necessarily on overall ecotourism. But it's a good point.
Anybody else got anything to say about this Hutchins property?
I think we need a key on finding that you can go with low tide and put a motor boat in the water and it'll flow. I mean, you got the water out there, dead low tide, in front of somebody's place.
That's right.
To find water low tide. I mean, if we're gonna be talking about dredging something, Dallas Creek would be perfectly dredged out, and you'd have 100 acres of dry hill out there to work some kind of partnership with FWC. That'd be halfway between Teen Hatch and halfway between Keaton Beach to get that crowd right off of Keaton Beach and Teen Hatch. You can't hardly go down either 4th of July, you won't hardly go be able to drive down either one of them golf course. And that might be something to partnership later on with FWC on that down there. And if you're going to dredge something, it's got a flushing process and, you know, too. So, I mean, that's my feeling. We just need the key on things that you can unload a boat at low tide and it'll flow.
Okay, so am I hearing you say you'd like to see the Hutchins property kept on the list?
I wouldn't.
No.
Main thing, because that house on it. You can take a $400,000 house and just destroy it and take it off the tax roll to just have a parking lot. I mean, that's just not.
We weren't suggesting that the house would be removed. We weren't suggesting that the house would be removed. We were suggesting that the house would be utilized.
Yeah, but what would you need a house that big and that nice on a parking lot?
And that's what I was discussing before, was that, you know, you could, currently our marine agent is in the top story of Forest Capitol Hall. Why? You know, we've got a facility at Steam Hatchie that's right across the boat ramp. If we had a facility like this, put the guy whose focus is coastal on the coast. That would make a beautiful place for him to focus on the work that he does day in and day out. So, I mean, and, you know, Mr. Lakey had mentioned before when we were thinking about the Keaton property that we could bring in someone as a lease option to run the facility. You could do the same thing at this location. You know, it's not that you have to just scrap it. Several of these properties have structures on it. And we noted that as that could be a con. You know, because that's something you have to deal with, but it could also be a positive that you utilize that facility.
Could be a tourist center too.
Could be.
Something else you could use it for is you got a fire department and an ambulance service sitting in Steam Hatch, and it'd be halfway between the areas, and which would be idealistically located. Years ago, we wanted to put it right there at the end of the Fish Creek Drive, which is right across the street.
If you want to have it halfway, it'd be about Dollar Creek, mm-hmm. between Dollar Creek and
it's only 17 miles to Steam Hatch.
I know.
That's right. From Keaton, Keaton is really about midpoint.
What's your opinion on keeping the Hutchins?
I'd like to keep it on myself. I mean, we don't have to pick one today. I mean, there's others I'd like to keep too.
Yeah, well, I thought we were going to go through a process of elimination if we could. If not, I mean, we could submit them all, but if there's any that the majority wants to eliminate, let's do it. Commissioner, do you have an opinion?
Yeah.
this is totally new to me, but I would like to hear what the rest of that say. But looks like 25 acres, a lot of land on that. 14 acres would be utilized as a parking area. Either, you know, we might eliminate it down the road, but it's available right now. Let's look at it and see what it do. Look at the and discuss the rest of it.
Yes, sir.
I see the Hexes in Pompey, and I think that Dr. Drayton Camp, is that these ones?
No.
That wasn't him?
Kenneth.
No, those are just your contractor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay.
He's not there anymore.
Let's see. And let's see. We have moved on.
If I were the king, I would not keep him in. I'm alone in the garden. We should come back and revisit.
Okay. Well, let's keep it for right now. And then we can always, and I'll put a question mark by mine, and we can always come back. How does that sound?
That sounds
okay,
like,
okay,
I
let's
like,
go to the next one.
Like
Beach Marina. Talk about that.
Which one are you going?
Number two, the Keaton Beach Marina.
Okay.
Talk about that.
Not very.
Okay.
this is the existing, or the original Keaton site. The pros on this, the best I can recall was the existing infrastructure that's already there, that being a boat basin, and I think there's a small launch ramp there on the south end of it. It is convenient to deep water access, and then it also has some, I guess it doesn't have any structures on there anymore. I think they've all been removed, right? Because the one's still there. One's still there. That's the main one up at the
one of the cabins.
Right. The cons we saw with that primarily was that you weren't decentralizing your existing congestion issue. You were actually going to reconcentrate it and focus more in this area. But logistically, it has a size that would accommodate a facility with practical exercise just to make it to where it would be useful. I think it's definitely a plausible site.
Okay.
Is that the one where we've got about 100 parking spaces, 42 on one side, 52 on the other?
No, sir, we were talking about our existing facility that's up at the
end of
the
nailed it.
Yes, sir. This is the one that used to be the Keaton Beach Marina.
Yeah. At that, well, we put in that Keaton Beach, how many boats can get in that one time? Just one?
Two. There's two lanes.
Two slips?
Yes, sir. Two launching lanes.
Yes.
The Keaton Beach Marina, to me, is very, a lot of possibilities.
It does.
I'd like to keep this one on the tax road if we could. It needs to be commercial. Some water-related activities. This would be one I think we'd want to maybe partner with somebody, have a little stake in it.
Yes, sir.
Could we use pot three monies to partner with maybe the owner of the property and see what their ideas are about developing it? I think for all that valuable property, you take them off the tax roll. And to just make it just into another two-lane boat rent here. Just congesting the Keaton Beach channel more than we already have.
I would defer to the gentleman at my left on if there are any restrictions or prohibitions on the use of that money going towards a private property versus a public investment.
Referring to Mr. Blake?
Yes, sir.
I do not know at this time. I really don't know. I mean, if we can leave it on the list and I can find out for you some more information on that. And like I said,
I'd say leave it on the list.
Certainly public-private partnerships would not be beyond the realm of reason, even though it was a publicly owned facility, to where you brought a private enterprise in to
manage
and operate with an expected return on that through revenues. You know, it makes sense if you're able to do that.
The key to having something on the Keaton Beach Canal 10, 15, 20 years from now, dredging that will be always be a feasibility of getting, you can get that dredge anytime you want to. It'll come and go. And commercial businesses there, once it fills in a little mean, it built congest another area to put that. But when that marina was in full swing there, it never really caused no issues there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and they had a lot of people coming and going there. And so, I mean, that's to keep that canal going for everybody that owns property there, that needs to be my thinking to talk to Liz right now, the way I feel about it. Because of the access and keeping that channel there, you know, over the year. I give you, the more you got, the more boat ramps you got there, the more it would be to come and go for everybody. There won't be people parking in the ditch up there at the other boat ramp. Right. You know, we need to eliminate that before some young gets run over up there and getting out of the car in the ditch. I mean, it's just something I'm, every time I rode by there, and the family's unloading out there in the ditch on the highway, it scared me to death, knowing how young get real excited when they fix them, go stall up there fishing, mm-hmm. and they run right out in front of the car.
It'd be nice if there was some way, manageable way, to once you saturated your parking places, that's it. You know, I'm sorry, the facility is closed, or at capacity, we'll have to seek elsewhere.
Right.
Instead of just, because it is scary, and people come through there with, you know, focus on what they're doing and not necessarily on a pedestrian crossing.
That's exactly right.
You know, we tried to do some of the improvements through a DOT program late last year, I believe it was, and you know, one of the criteria was you had to have these serious type accidents. And, you know, I told him, I said, you're not really going to have a serious type accident necessarily because of the lower speeds, but accidents from hitting our fences to the congestion to the possibility of a pedestrian impact is there. And, you know, it's just almost like a caution or like a traffic signal. You don't need the warrants right now. So right. Something bad could happen before you qualify.
I don't see no reason we can't use part of this money to pave a road right behind the parking lot at Keep Beach Boat Ramp now to cut that corner off and take that whole road right there and use it as parking too. I mean, if you had a leaving up there about the microwave tower and cut straight across there to the corner store,
mm-hmm.
it would take all the heat off that and give you a bunch more parking room right there at Keep Beach Boat Ramp today. And that would be money used for the boat ramp and the water facilities. So, I mean, that's just.
I think it's wet, and I don't think it can do
it. It's wet. It's real wet.
It'd be a lot easier to get a permit to build a road right behind that parking lot and hit over about the corner store, and it would be great to come out up there, I can tell you. It might be.
I said there's a chance it might be.
Oh, yeah.
But it is wet.
Oh, I'm a little wet, but it's not. Aquatic seagrass or maybe.
No, sir, but I think most of the congestion issues is people using the facility, not the people who's trying to go around the facility. So I'm not sure that you alleviate a lot of that congestion parking aspect, because those are the people who are trying to, those are the persons trying to actually use the facility.
But if the main traffic was exited from that parking lot, and it was flooded all the way up there on the highway, and all that highway there was part of that parking lot, and they could be walking young and could be walking back and forth with the boat ramp and everything without, you know, that would be no outlet there, that would be parking lot.
You can't do that because you got people living down there.
You got.
Suppose Commissioner Peter wants to go to her house.
Yeah, but what?
And she's got cars parked there.
How does she, what, she drives through the parking lot now? By the boat ramp?
No, you're talking about making the highway.
No, I'm not talking about blocking the highway. I'm talking about cutting off the state right over the head of Cedar Island. Having the main road go around behind the parking lot.
How many cars would that give you extra, you think, to park?
I don't think he was talking about creating a parking lot, but I think he was talking about making it to where it's not through traffic. Like making a T just east of Marina Road to where you wouldn't come through there and go to Jody Grade, you'd have to come around, is what I thought he was discussing.
Exactly. You wouldn't turn there. Heading for Cedar Island, where you turn now, you turn for about a corner toward the road, come behind the parking lot, heading for Cedar Island.
Yes.
And that would eliminate all that parking in the ditch right there and all that children running back and forth across that highway.
Yes,
Mr. I'm just going to suggest maybe we get back on track if it's okay with the board, because we've still got a number
we can discuss that at a different time. So Commissioner Russell or Commissioner Dilts, do you have any comments on the Keaton Beach Marina? Do you want to keep it or not?
You can't get so many votes out for now. I mean, he said that a few minutes ago.
That's just a con. You know, if you're listing pros and cons, that is one thing to consider as a con.
And something else, you said it had a boat ramp already on it? I don't think it does. It got property.
It's right there on the south end.
It does.
Small, it's small.
That's what I said. It has a small one-lane ramp at the south end. That's what I remember.
I've seen it, but I didn't know it was on that property.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've heard two strong opinions about keeping it on the list.
And we're not really sure that this one is necessarily on the for sale market. One of the cons listed is the improvements to the roadway. You know, that would eat up a pretty sizable chunk of change just to improve that to a two-lane structure that will go to this facility. But from a decentralizing aspect, from accommodating on an existing canal, it has a lot of positives for it. The general size and shape of it, you could easily site a facility here as well as having quite a bit of mooring dockage across the front of it if you wanted to lease those type of slips. But you know, whether it's for sale or not, I don't know. But it would make a beautiful spot.
Yeah, I mean,
it would, but the access that you can create more congestion.
Exactly.
Road ramp side.
They would be coming past it, yes, sir.
I'm not interested in the name of the road.
But I would say the same is true if you did one at Dogs Creek, if you did one at Hudson's property, if you did one at Rhode Island. I mean, the same concept is true if you use that.
That's a perfect guide.
This one? Yeah, I could even see a public sand beach on this one. It just has a lot of possibilities.
But it also may not even be for sale.
I agree. I started with that. I'm not sure that it's for sale.
Commissioner Russell?
I don't care. And I don't mean to be. I don't care one way or the other.
Mr. Moody, was it a yes or a no for you?
I keep it on the list, honestly.
All right. So far, 3 out of 3. We'll go to the next one, Spring Warrior. I'm sure you want this one, don't you?
Well, I mean, that takes pressure off a lot of times. And there's property there that you can build in to make more park in there.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I would say is that there, Melody informed me there's been a recent sale of this. It was an April resale.
So Frank doesn't own that anymore, and that's who had turned it in.
Mr. Morgan doesn't own it anymore.
Mr. Morgan doesn't own it anymore, and that's who turned it in.
He sold it
in April.
It would be somewhat similar to the Hannon property.
He sold it
in April. It's now owned by Dozers of M&S Investments.
Right. He's got a partner in it, is what he told me when he told me to put it on the list. Yeah.
Now, what were you saying?
I would just say it'd be similar to the Hamden property on whether or not it's uncertain whether it's available or for sale at this point.
Okay, the Hamden property. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's,
I would keep Frank Morgan on the list.
Okay, Gates Creek.
Which one?
Gates Creek.
Yeah, but it has a name.
Gates
Clark.
I would keep Clark on the list.
Anybody opposed? Number 6, Gates Creek,
Easel.
I don't know where it is.
Okay, yeah. It's south of the Clark property. As you're coming down Gates Creek, you would hang a left first to where that it looks like a man-made channel, actually, or a dirt channel that's there before you get
right
to
here.
The Clark property, which is further to the west.
It's
limited in size. I think we mentioned that in some of the cons as far as the quantity of uplands. There appears, at least from the aerial photography, that there is some uplands there. And I think they even attached a pamphlet of some on-site photos.
Yeah. Do you want to show?
It has an existing unimproved ramp that's there now. I think some people are using it.
Kent, is that there on Bowman?
It is there on the bottom right, I guess, where the little thing makes
right
a squiggle.
Here?
No, ma'am, it's here, left.
Where the house is.
Left more, go up, up to the right, down.
There.
A little bit too much.
That's okay.
That's correct.
Right there.
Yeah, it has all of the flavor of being a man-made, a man-made channel.
Remember when it was made?
Yes, sir. That's probably when the drag line was in. Keep.
We have a question. If you'll come up here and state your name and
I'm David Casey, down at 2223 South Gulfview Drive at Dark Island, Perry. Just wanted to clarify, the Wakes Creek property that we've submitted actually is 270 acres. And it actually surrounds the other Ezel property. So that Ezel property would be within that 270 acres that we've submitted for approval.
So 1 month for both properties, is that what you're saying?
They're separately, have submitted there separately, and I'm not sure how much.
This is a letter they sent with, so it's 20 acre, 20 and a half acres, right?
I think so, yes.
Within, but within, where is it on your map?
That I, yeah.
Okay, so.
Surrounded by her.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not included.
That's correct.
Okay.
They're separate.
They're separate. Okay, that was the question.
Ezel Park and
so
Ezel.
It's right here.
Ezel Park and Gates Ezel. The two properties are separate.
So it's right here. And yours is?
Ours is, the Clark properties is 220 acres, and then we've got other Ezel properties that are about 10 acres, and Bonford properties about 10 acres, and then Matheson property, which is about 20 acres of uplands. So we have still plenty of parking space that could be added there with the Yates Creek boat ramp, and we have kayak launching places, and the boat ramp is already in place, and that canal that goes through there. So that includes all 270 acres, and then the other Ezel is within that 270 acres, but it's a separate submit.
Okay. Gotcha, thank you.
Any comments on the Yates Creek Ezel? That's the perfect spot. I think we need to keep it on the list.
Okay, next, the Lundy property.
Madam Chair, I need to declare a conflict. My wife's first cousin is Lundy's wife, and they asked me to put this on here, and I'm terribly excited about selling it. Yes. I want to see where it goes. I do know it's, I think, 14, 15 acres. Lots of possibilities. It's got other creek comes in the area, and it's over the years it's been dug out. I know they go from there. Two boats. It's pretty accessible.
Where's the name?
On the Gibson Road.
It's off the
Gibson Road.
Yeah, Gibson Road, just where you can fix it.
Go down Gibson Road and take a ride.
Yeah.
The only thing I would ask if you are familiar with it is it was not clearly discernible where the launching location was that they used. It seems like it's on the kind of the top left location of the upland, because the central top part of that is like a pond that has a dock that goes across the prohibits, but then just immediately left of that or waterward, it seems like they at higher water they kind of launch their boats and come and go.
That's the dock here.
Yes, sir.
Now that pond, that's where the previous owner, I think, excavated dirt to fill in, back to fill in.
Yeah, it, as well as the ponds on the right, seem to be excavated for the purpose of creating uplands. Yes, sir.
It's easy to locate. When you get to the 25-mile-an-hour speed sign, turn right, and you go down the end, turn right. Mm-hmm. I know exactly where the sign is. I've been told a thousand times.
But that sounds interesting because
it's
this side of the Keaton Beach congestion.
Right. Yeah. It is. It's just that, you know, that's, I think you'll see on the cons that it has your, that's your tidal water access location that it's, you have to be very aware of the tides as it is now.
Right.
And that's how I was saying from the beginning, this is a location that will still entail dredging access.
Right.
And the little channel that they dug out of that place goes into the Crane Creek right there, mm-hmm. into the creek. So, I mean, you can come and go at a third tide, you can come go to the river bank to this piece of property.
I like the possibility of this one. Anybody else?
Let's leave it on here.
Adam Speech.
Well, our right way goes all the way down to the end of that. I think it was original state road right away, tell you the truth. It goes right down to the end of the asphalt. You've got the paper in front of you. I don't recall it off the top of my head. And you have to realize that some of these properties are on here. Mr. Lake came up and said, okay, with no constraints, where are the properties across our coastline that could be amenable to a facility? And that's how some of them got on there, like the Hamden, the Adams Beach. You know, they have a point of access and have some possibilities, so let's put them on the list for your consideration and then see how you want to move forward.
Where was the park on Adams Beach?
You would have to address some means of uplands through there, and that would be, you know, mitigation efforts, I think, to kind of expand your right-of-way. And then if you had enough room to create a loop system at the end. We've done some drafting before in the past on some designs, like when we were looking at, I think it was First Avenue South or something, or North at Steinhatchee, trying to accommodate something within a right-of-way. It's difficult, it is. It's not as easily achieved as a bigger parcel, but you know, it was throw caution to the wind and list all you could.
Anybody interested?
That's not the kind of project we're going to tackle right there,
as far as I'm concerned. I'm moving on.
Anybody else?
Good place across the sunset, that was the best time.
Do we want to eliminate one then?
All right.
Then maybe you give us.
Okay. Take it off.
Take it off. All right. I was keen he was in there.
Okay, the next one, Yard Island.
Tom Grove Marina. Skipping that.
Which one?
I'm sorry?
Tom Grove Marina, you skipping that?
Bird Island.
No, Bird Island's next.
Right under
here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bird
Island.
Yeah, I'm going to
talk to us about
that? This is one that, as you can see in the bottom right hand corner, that's the Hudson's property. It's just north of that and just beyond Dark Island. It's an existing, I consider a commercial fishing operation location. Mr. Clinton lives there. It does have some water access. It goes straight out from the end of Bird Island. You know, would take some dredging possibly. One of the cons, I think, is on trying to accommodate traffic circulation and parking on that facility. That, you know, it'd be easy to come all the way down, kind of pull ahead, back in, and then when you pull back out to go park, well, then you still got to turn that vessel back around, or the vehicle back around, and go back to retrieve it. It's kind of difficult, or more difficult, when you have a narrower or island peninsula like that than it is, you know, a little bit larger facility. So that's just some things that we were thinking as far as the pros and cons.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't recall the total acreage. It might be more than that, including some of the other, the whole right away back up. It might be a little more than that.
How many parking spaces would it accommodate?
Like I said, that's the difficult thing to say. Okay, well, you know, it's 1,000 feet long. You make the spaces 10 feet wide. You can put 100 of them across there. You know, but putting in a parking space and being able to get to that both directions is a little bit more involved.
It's a little awkward.
It is very awkward.
It's got a good look here too.
It does. I mean, it's weathered a lot of storms. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's just, you know, if you're thinking about the logistics of a facility, it's not as favorable as some of the others, is why it's listed further down.
You take a lot of work on keeping this too.
Let's keep it on the
It warrants consideration.
Tom Grove Marina, Where is this?
I'm going to defer to Melody. Will help me on this one, because I remember Palm Grove Marina and the Fish House are both in Steen Hatchie, and I remember we've talked about them before as far as Florida Land Trust or something like that, but she's more familiar with the properties.
Palm Grove Marina is located when you come into Steen Hatchie from 19 as you come into town. The county was actually awarded a grant for it to be a non-motorized boating facility trailhead through Office and Greenways and Trails, and then the program was discontinued. I think from a trailhead standpoint, this is one of your sites that have a much lower cost. I believe you could get it for much lower than it's listed. Might be one just good to keep on your list to kind of tuck in as a trailhead. It's located on the state-designated canoe and kayak. The Steen Hatchie River was designated that. It's also along that scenic trail, biking and walking trail that Florida National Trails has did the presentation to you. It falls right in line with what they're trying to accomplish as far as you've got your Tennell Trailhead, Steen Hatchie Falls, and then you would have this site. But I think you could probably get it for a very good price. There's an existing boat launch there already. There was a very good decking docking system, which is in need of repair now. But I think it's one that you might want to keep on there just because you could probably get it for a really good price. It would make an excellent addition to some of the things you're trying to accomplish in Steen Hatchie.
Is it large enough for some parking?
It's 2.5 acres that could be used for parking. It's an excellent location. It would be good just to see it purchased because it used to be so pretty along there. Now it's overgrown and not taken care of. Mr. Hall doesn't live around here, but I think it's one that you could get probably for a really good price that could be a little jewel for the county.
I have to keep it too because I'm thinking a large tract of land would be nice, but to have several small ones would be good too. I like to keep it too.
This is 0.35 acres on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it two?
There's 2.5 acres that would make a big parking area. The rest of it is like the boat launch area and kind of close to the water.
Okay. The 0.35 is there by the river.
Right. It's a beautiful little piece of property. The cons is I do see some larger watercraft launching from there occasionally. I think you would want to have some restrictions on it because being in a residential area. But I think it would be for what you could probably get it for and all the uses of it. It would be good to tuck into your list.
Okay. Are you going to talk about that one too?
We included that on the list because it would definitely be an enhancement to the Steen Hatchie Boat Ramp parking. You've got considerable land there to add to your parking. You can see the second parcel back. It's three parcels included in it. The second parcel back was a boat storage area at one time, so you've got considerable parking right there. You could get some people off the main road right there. But it would be an enhancement to the Steen Hatchie Boat Ramp. Your negative on that is the fish market's in a great deal of disrepair, and I think it would be in the best interest of the county at this point to probably demolish it. You have a boat lift there you probably don't want to use, but you do have a very good dock and pier there. And the only pier you have in Steen Hatchie that's public right now is your little one across from the community center. So that site has a lot of options. I think it's one that would be, could potentially be cost efficient. So that's why we included it to enhance what you already have existing there that you could do at a minimal cost for parking there.
You're talking about tearing down the old fish house itself.
I would recommend that when we go past it's in so much disrepair. And there's a liability there now. But I just think you have so much parking potential there, which is what you're desperate
for. And deep water right there by that dock.
Mm-hmm.
You look out at Roy's and see that pier. It's a beautiful pier, which would add some passive recreation. But that's why we included that, because we just thought it was a good option to enhance what you already have at not a large cost to develop it and be able to use it. You could use it for parking immediately.
How many parking spaces would it provide? Any idea?
As I said earlier, the property at Keaton Beaches on the south side of the boat ramp is 4 acres, and you've got just under 50 spaces there. But you said this is off of Doyle Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
So isn't Doyle Street on the far east
of
Steenhatchee? You can't see the Steenhatchee boat ramp from there.
No, it's one block back.
Right next to Roy's.
Yeah. Next to
No,
it's owned by a partnership. It's a Spanish name. Sarasota, Tampa is who owns it. When we tried to acquire it before, they did not want to work with us on the cost. The state made them a second offer, but since that time we've heard from them numerous times wanting to sell it. I just think your potential with parking, I think it'd be easily funded because Florida Boating has a great deal of interest in the Steenhatchee Boat Ramp because they help acquire it. So you've got a partnership relationship there already.
Yeah, and so it sounds like they're a motivated seller too.
Very motivated.
That's leaving it all.
Okay.
And they want the people who could stand to make more money. Saturday, in about a half an hour to get to the road to go around.
We would have to change, our ideas would change from when we originally tried to do it, because at the time we planned on keeping the fish market, and that's just not
okay. Lindsay, who wants to talk about that? Kenneth?
Miss Casey, may I ask you?
I would assume.
I
think it would be the better one.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, spoke with you guys about it prior on the property right there going dark out of the boat there. So what I would be thinking would be the best use for it would be to add to the existing county park, and you could use this, see this 36 acres right here, and it takes in 700 feet of frontage on the Dark Island Canal. So you could take, when you do wind up dredging and filling this canal, that would give you some area for your spoil there, enhance what you have already. Then you could hopefully add some additional parking in here, field. And also, you would have the potential for some other amenities like a pier that would go around the edge of the bar. You're connected to the golf cart community from Keaton Beach and Cedar Island. It comes all the way over to the end of the boat ramp at Dark Island. So those people at Keaton Beach can potentially moor their boat here on this canal, and people that are inland that don't have any canal access, they could drive their golf carts around here and get in their boats. Might alleviate some of the traffic there at Keaton Beach.
How do you drive their golf cart? See that road on the side?
Yeah, that's the Dark Island Road is a golf cart community. And you have a trail that goes all the way to Keaton Beach on the side of the road.
That's true.
Not the golf carts?
No.
Really?
Please don't say it loud.
Okay, well, maybe somebody else
can
make
it that. Money back, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So the golf cart community is just from the Dark Island Road into Dark Island, and then Keaton Beach, from the boat ramp?
Anything we built is a walking trail.
Okay.
The things we didn't build, we could ride on.
Right. Well, I was under the misconception there. But anyway, this is the 36 acres that's for sale
that's
here.
That's only because we're not trying to force it.
Right.
See, we got Commissioner Bates living on Cedar Island. Well, he's seen
it. That's fine. I'm sheriff down there now. I can see
it. You're the old constable, right?
Yeah.
I remember the constable.
Another sheriff.
Tell us
all the time. And you'll. Personal opinion. Have you ever tried to get a permit on any other So doing your filling and dredging?
Yeah, we had Lindsay Island, we had it full of permits with four engineers and aquatic seagrass people. Had the last group of people that we had trouble with was actually the county. We had everybody else taken care of. Four engineers, aquatic seagrass people, who all did we have to buy it going through? Swan River Water Management? DED. It's doable. I mean, I hear you talking about permits and all. It's doable, but it's tough. I think the county would have an easier job probably getting something permitted than a private individual would. And then I also heard something about the state. I mean, they can probably do what they want to do, I would think, within reason. But
how much dry ground is there at high tide that you can actually get to and park on, you reckon?
Oh, but you got a lot more strip of spoils there already. But I'd be honest with you, I don't really have an idea. Maybe a half acre, and then maybe some more on the strip down here.
That strip was put there when they dug that channel. That was that field or that channel.
See, that would be pretty easy to permit because it's already been done once.
Right.
Of course, we all know it needs dredging. It needs to come on around here. I'm sure you're all aware that this needs to be dredged on out to where the channel runs now.
But it's solid rock right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of rock, that's for sure. You see it piled up in school. But, I want to have it on this as a consideration. It could be a good way to take some pressure off some of the boat accidents that are currently being used as a boat right now. It would just enhance that park.
Now, that little narrow strip, it's about 30 feet wide, you'd say, or 20?
No, it's probably 20 feet wide.
About 20 feet wide?
Yeah.
And but they let it pump spill out, and if they eventually put it over, you can make it wider.
Well, see, you have a lot of marsh up here that you can use that mitigation. You can set that aside. I'm not exactly sure how the ratio works.
1 to 10.
1 to 10? Okay, so if you have 10 acres of marsh set aside, you can fill 1 acre.
Yes, sir.
Is there any minimum on the amount of acres you have to go into mitigation? Mm-hmm. So if you got 36 acres here, you can fill 3 points.
The ratio is actually contingent upon the quality of wetlands. And the ratio can get as high as 1 to 20.
How long is this 1 to 10?
Well, there are some ways that you could enhance the water flow there by putting a few cuts in the road and culverts to connect these creeks. And then also down here up in the Lindsay Island area here, you can do that also.
You don't want to put too many cuts in that road now because you got some, your sister one has got some lots up there that fill up with water just about when we have a high tide.
Well, all this area fills up water when you have a high tide. But there would be some possibilities for mitigation. So you say 1 to 10, so if you had 36 acres.
Mine's in a different area. Mine's somewhere else. I don't know what it would be right there. It's like he said.
There's a UMAM process that you classify, and it can go as high as 1 to 20.
Well, he also gets some extra points by being adjacent like to a National Audubon property or something like that, don't you? When you look for points for mitigation.
Everything we've dealt with as far as like Swan River, DEP, and Army Corps, it's been focused on just the quality of the wetlands when we were discussing mitigation. We didn't expand beyond that to anything else.
So would this be a lot of unusable land?
Well, you could use it.
Is that what y'all are saying?
Yeah, there would be like, depending on what you could fill here, you may wind up with 30 acres of marsh or more.
And it's total how many acres?
36 acres.
If you ever dig out from the boat ramp home out there at our college, you'll actually need your bulkhead that side of the channel anyway, with all that field right there, a wash right back in the channel for a hurricane you have. So they would need a spot, like you say, to put dredge pool. That might be a perfect spot for when they do the other canal.
Yeah, that would be a side benefit of it. Would be either place right there on the canal and close to the other canals that you which is old, and make more uplands, but also take care of the problem you have with where to put what you're dredging.
I'd say leave it on the list.
I would too.
Yeah, we got a motivated seller.
That's exactly right. The soft business is tough.
Okay. Lucy Hendrick. Where in the world is this?
That's the small parcel that's up there. Immediately east of the existing boat ramp parking, the overflow parking, I think where this tower located on that facility.
What
It's where the
The real estate office on the land?
The real estate office is immediately east of it, I believe.
So it's right there by it.
Yes, ma'am, it's the highlighted parcel.
So it's right in the middle of all the problem we've got now?
It's right there next to the condition.
That's where Jim wants to make a turn to go around and park it.
That's true.
Yes, sir. Somewhere in that location.
Any comment?
No comment. Not too excited.
Do you want to take it off or leave it on?
I don't think we got no use for that right there, Ms. Lee.
I don't either.
Okay, you want to take it off?
I would.
Do we want to add any more or stay with this?
Was that all of them?
It's all of them.
I would just say that if it's more difficult to add a project to the list later than it is to remove one, then if there's any glimmer of possibility that you think it's interesting, mm-hmm. put it on the list now.
We must add Dolls Creek and Hagen's Cove then. I like what you said about Hagen's Cove.
Well, the state partnership place. Is available at both places, I
both
think.
Both places, we got
I would add both of them. Yes. Dolls Creek would be a real good spot.
Sure would.
That would take pressure off St. Matthew and Keating Beach. Yes. And it's got existing channels.
I've been stranded out there at Dolls Creek, so I'm not
I like both of those areas.
I spent the night up
there. But Highland Park.
Yeah, that's a world of Highland Park.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Me?
He's still looking on that, too.
Okay. So. We'll add Dolls Creek and Hagen's Cove, and that will give us a total of 13. Eliminating two, we're adding two. Well, that concludes this meeting.
One quick comment. Kenneth can say for the component of the set aside to do enhancement. I don't know if we'll have to send a percentage or not, like $10 million for purchase and $2 million for set aside. So I don't know how that's going to shape that. Y'all got any thoughts on that? If we have to identify a number for that component or not? I just don't know.
What I'm thinking,
Kenneth,
is we use this BP money to acquire the property. And then there's an opportunity. Melvin's still here. She's very successful when you get grants to do some of these amenities.
Yeah, there is an opportunity to leverage out funds.
I mean, that's my thinking.
Okay. So just go with one project, that would be property acquisition. Okay.
Wouldn't I say that again?
What? Okay, we're going with one project then, and that is acquisition of property. We're not going with two, acquisition of property, and number two would be. Enhancement of those properties that we buy.
I think we need to include both of them. Not just one, because we may not get the credit.
That took a long time, too.
That's true. But my thinking was that you only got 2.4 million, and it would be less properties that you could acquire.
That's true.
And it's probably a one-time opportunity, at least in my lifetime, to acquire
I don't even know if we'll be asked to do that or not, but maybe we could roll them all in as one project, just don't know, but we'll just have one project in, and that's the property acquisition.
These properties, you said there's how many?
13.
At some point, there probably will be appraisals done, and I think probably some of these may drop off because owner might not want to take what the money available for buying.
Or we may not even be able to buy them at the time.
We might not be able to buy them.
Some of them might be sold.
Some might be sold, you know.
There's a chance some of the owners would, if we were getting the money over 15 years, would take payments over the year. You know, that would give us access to that property. There's a chance for that.
You might want to include in what you turn in, acquisition and cost associated with that acquisition so that you're making sure that you're covered on your appraisals, and if there's anything required of permitting or anything like that, you might want to term it that way to make sure you're covered on any additional costs to acquire it.
10% or something. I would just suggest that, you know, what Commissioner Russell was saying, that those, that second version of cost associated with improvement of the infrastructure and or dredging, those costs can get much beyond the reach of your Florida Voting Improvement Programs and things such as that, that at least not cut yourself short on limiting what you can, you know, limiting your dollars just to acquisition, allow it to be acquisition or infrastructure associated improvements. Doesn't say you have to spend it on that, but it gives you the opportunity to have that possibility.
I agree, because there's not grant funding for dredging. We all know that, so you might want to do even, like you said, 10% or $1 million, set aside $1 million if you need dredging.
All right, I'm convinced.
Yeah, if we went ahead and acquired the property and could improve it, then that would eliminate our problem a lot quicker than waiting forever to try to find this money. So I agree with that. So let's do acquisition and improvements if we're asked.
Okay.
Yes.
Before you adjourn the meeting, is there anybody that knows of any other property that may want to be listed on it? In the audience?
I've got a comment. I appreciate the process y'all go through. It sounds like you guys got a plan. Some things you can do. If it's not for sale, I wouldn't put it on the list, okay? And we don't need to compete with private enterprise. So we can talk to some of you commissioners about that. Travis Beach said he has to put the boat ramp in his to be operating down there. We put him out of business, okay? And we need to be recognize that. I know dredging is now a hot, big topic for you. I think it's maybe another part for that. A lot of people don't want to spend money except on the main channel. They don't want to dredge canals around private homes. It's not up to the public. They're really opposed to it. And they're just the things that I've been through this before. And I wouldn't be afraid to rank them, but it'd be the board would rank them and the state negotiate. They could come in under 80% of the freight, take it off, and go to the next. We've done that. That's the way I've been through that. It works. But, you know, if you don't put a limit to what you're going to pay. Dr. Hutchinson, they're going to tell me how many dollars this county spent to get Dr. Hutchinson. I don't know who I want to really know the enemy, but Conrad Bishop went up there with Jack Brown and a hassle with DCA. Somebody's doing a vision, and it's got the best. As long as you can get anywhere from Tampa to Tallahassee, but we taxpayers pay for that. Okay? It is not, they can put, I'm not saying take it off and put it on, but you need to know what is it for sale, what they're asking for, and I'd set some criteria. If you couldn't buy within 90% of the appraised value, forget it. You know, there's nothing you got to have. The other thing I say, the stay on the whole coastline. I'd exhaust all those dogs creeping those places. Getting access through them, and you may or may not know, but Sweetwater Preserve was submitted to the state last week. The ARC committee, it was approved to go through evaluation. That's Dr. Pruitt's property. I was probably not going to go, but there's this thing like that in the works. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? Anyway, I got the package, but it was approved by the ARC, which is a committee that screens things before the government can and starts to evaluate. That's 5,000 acres down there to be, it's probably not going, they don't have the money to buy, but at least it went through the first hurdle. I know there's a lot of thought need to be put into it, but I know it's a tough decision, and you know, you all wind up doing what's right.
Well, for one time, I'm going to agree with you on something.
I'm going to leave.
No, I agree. I think if it's not for sale, and we need to, on the Hamden property, and whichever one the other one was, if it's not for sale, let's don't worry.
The problem is this money's going to roll in over a 15-year period, and the consortium hasn't even decided how they're going to divvy it out over that time period. It may not be for sale now. It may come up for sale 5 years later or 10 years later. So it's hard to, at this moment in time, say it's not for sale. We're not even going to think about it. That's my opinion.
Well, the first thing, you don't have to have any of it, okay? We want to buy the tax all of these wisely, but if it wasn't for sale, they'll come back to you. Anyway,
and this concrete and concrete right now that you've got to have a lid, they want you to have a lid, they want to know you're making a movement, but they don't want to, they're not going to hold you to that.
No,
list.
They're not going to hold you.
You just have it on the list, so we can.
I get all the emails.
We got some wiggle room there.
Yep. I get all the emails on the report that I sent someone to Ted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of shooting at a moving target because who knows what's going to happen 5, 10, 15 years from now. And, you know, we may get in the front of the line or we may be in the back of the line with this money. I don't know.
That's a good one. Any other? Yes, ma'am. If come state your name and address. Felina Driggers. I live at 15715 Bonita Boulevard. That's in the Yates Creek subdivision. And I know that there's a lot going on, a lot to think about. But I just would like to ask that when you're trying to make your decision on the properties, to think about a way to put a job or a business alongside of it. I know we want to keep our coastline for recreation, but we also need jobs in this county. So when you're thinking about it, think outside the box. It don't have to be marina. It don't have to be kayak rental. It can be restaurants. It can be an small office complex. It can be a doctor down there that's closer. Anything. But just please think outside the box and don't limit yourself to just kayaking or boating or whatever. Consider jobs and businesses coming in.
Good point.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Good
yes, sir.
My name is Eddie Beaver. I live in 15655 Bonita Boulevard, primary center area.
What'd you say your name was?
Eddie Weaver. And I noticed that when we was talking about different properties, the Yates Creek or the Clark property, it was kind of brushed over kind of quickly about the pros and the cons of it. And I was curious about, never really spoke about the dredging. Is that going to be an issue with that property as well? Because I know we talked about dredging on different properties, but not that. And I know that one of your main points that you said earlier, sir, was you want a place that you can go on low tide, set a boat in, and be okay. Well, that's not it. They're down there. You
talking about the Yates Creek boat?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. Off. And it's just...
At one time, you could. All it needs is cleaning out.
Well, sir, with all the horseshoe bars and rocks?
Well, I mean... I know exactly what you're saying, but now, as far as access to the best fishing on that coast down there, that's just right out the mouth of Yates Creek.
Yes, sir.
Either way, left or right, best red fishing and trout fishing in Dade County.
Well, let's not tell anybody else that, but yes, sir. And I know at the beginning of the first couple properties, I kept hearing deep water, deep water, deep water. Well, that's definitely not the case there either. And also, run into all the seagrass and stuff like that. So anyway, it was just never discussed with the pros or the cons, and I was curious about what the plan was for that. And I noticed that it was mentioned like 220, 270 acres. That number was going up and down depending on if other available property was included or not. But none of that's usable land unless you fill the mess out of that, because it's all tidal. It's all high tide, it goes underwater, every bit of it. It was mentioned that there's parking space right down the road. You're talking about a very, very small area. Like, if you got a large truck and a decent sized trailer, you'd be hard stressed to even go in there and turn around, much less there being an actual public parking area. That road is awful narrow. Trying to get two decent-sized trucks and boats passing each other, no. That little bridge going out there, that's way too narrow. It's always being washed out. And it's like right now with this storm system we got coming in, we have tidal surges. Every single time we have tidal surges, it goes more water out there. That 220, 270 acres, all of that is going to be underwater. So the cost, it would would take to make that actual usable land to fill all that in and to bring it above a level to where it is usable? I mean, it don't even sound logical, but that's just my opinion. I'm not an engineer.
Well, there's a lot of people that unload their airboats there because they don't interrupt anybody else to keep beach putting it coming in out of the canal at nighttime. A lot of people put their airboats in there.
Same goes for Adams Beach also, yes, sir.
And that is a good airboat ramp right there. I mean, that is a perfect spot for it, but you're not waking nobody up in the middle of the night coming and going.
Yes, sir. Yeah. At the beginning, it was all talked about deep water, dredging, stuff like that. It's just, I agree, that's a lot of acreage and it sounds good, but in reality, you're only looking at maybe half an acre. I don't care. Sir?
Usable.
Yes, sir.
At 200 and something acres?
It's so low.
You're kidding.
Down there, right where you can launch the boat, there's a small strip that's higher. But on an extremely large tide, it swallows most of it up. Where everybody parks around right in back where that septic tank is, all that's tied. On a high tide, there's standing water up there. If we got a storm surge, like what we're getting right now, I've driven down there, and I got pictures of it, and the entire road from those culverts on out is completely underwater. The entire road. I'm not talking about this sporadic water running. I'm talking about the entire road swallowing up a 35-inch tire.
Okay. I'd like to hear from our engineer, but thank you for your points.
Yes, ma'am.
It may have been brushed over, but Mr. Weaver did hit on the points I think that we included in front of you with respect to the pros and cons. The water access issue we've referenced it as tidal water access, because as you come out of either of those facilities, there is you have a larger creek on the Clark property than you do the Ezel, but both of those hit the sand areas, and once you get into the deltas, you're still going to have that shallow water area that you're going to address the seagrasses. So, and that's why I tried to preface it from the very beginning. When you're looking at these properties, dredging is going to be a consistent theme for all of those, and that's probably my fault for not sticking to that as far as addressing it. But then the second aspect of it is, irrespective of whether it's 100 acres or 200 acres, what we focused on was the usable properties, and that's why it didn't make it further up on the list, although they weren't ranked. It's kind of obvious on how they're ascended, and that what we saw as far as visible usable properties wasn't near as available as some of the properties that we talked about in the early part, and that's true for both of those.
Hold on just a second. Did you have something you wanted to say? She had tried to speak first, and then I'll let you come, and then I'll let you come, okay? We're doing it in an orderly fashion.
Well, we've had the property looked at a few years back. It wasn't here a long time ago by the engineers of Wilson Miller in Tallahassee, and most of the 20 acres that Mr. Matheson owns that's included with the property was considered uplands. That in fact they had drawn a plan of being able to put 54 townhouse units on that property. I know there's not much uplands there at the boat ramp, but there's still people have been using it for 75 years and been able to get in and out when they want to, and then you go down there and there are 10 or 12 trucks and trailers parked there using it all the time. So I know it's usable. And we do have the extra 20 acres of supposed uplands there. Like I said, the engineer firm looked at it a few years back, and that's what they proposed as a development area. So that's where I'm saying you could put some extra parking, put a primitive campground, that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you.
David, when they dug that channel out by the house that burnt down there, there wasn't a rock pile out there on that, where that road was built out there when they dug that channel. There's not a rock there, just a small rock. That whole area right there can be dredged easily compared to rock removal and other places we talked about. And there's enough property in that to swap from land and get from fill in, I'm sure that would.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of mitigation possibilities.
I can see that there.
And, you know, there's some uplands there in that area as well because there was a house there at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a man-made canal, so you are not going to have any problems getting permission to dredge it because that was our experience over at Lindsay Island. If it's a man-made canal, you just get a.
And it's got some flood, it's got flood water coming out of it through that, bridge off that mark down there. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yes, ma'am, you can come in. Normally, what we do is you can speak one time, but since somebody's already spoken more than one time, if you have something else to say, I'll let you talk one more time. Normally, you get to speak one time on a subject.
Yeah, Madam Chairperson, one other thing, keep in mind, we have a 3 o'clock meeting. We'll
yes,
a little set
so we're,
time
gonna, we're not going to argue back and forth about this land. You know, we've heard the facts, but go ahead.
My name is Savannah Weaver. I also live on Yates Creek on Bonita. There's more information pertaining to that land. Not only will it cost the county more money, you're going to have to pave that road. There's high traffic down that area. Law enforcement needs to be down there all the time. On their properties, they don't know it, but every day there's children out there stealing from those people that park their boats and trucks out there, stealing right out of their back of their trucks. And, I mean, it's a constant battle. We watch over 265 acres in that area, but from Adams Beach all the way to Yates Creek, we watch that whole area for poaching, stealing. They destroy their area. They need to lock it up. I mean, we're constantly running people off there. I mean, there's just wanting to destroy something. They can't pick up the trash. I mean, the oyster bars, they're protected. They can't be moved. You can't dredge them. The CCA will come in. It's a state. I mean, if you take away those oyster bars, there goes red fishing. And, you know, it's a low drafting for boats. It is extremely low when it comes to low tide. All these Georgia people that come from out of town, they go down there, they get stuck. Because they don't know that there's oyster bars there. It's a constant battle.
And in a county where you can harvest oysters, you can't destroy oyster bars. In this county, you can't even legally get a oyster.
I have spoken to the CCA. I think there's a different situation on that, but that is for you guys to find out about. But the traffic control, I mean, county can't even maintain that road as it is with a line rock. It's already washed out from beginning of Yates Creek all the way down to the Clark property. I mean, there's a big old hole from where the on the other side of the canal where it's been washed out already. I mean, it's going to cost some more money to use that as a boat ramp with less parking.
So I want to ask you a question then. So you're not here this evening because you have property for sale, right?
No, ma'am.
Okay. But you're a resident in mm-hmm. that area, and it sounds like to me that you may be opposed to this because of the impact that it's going to have to you and to other mm-hmm. residents down there.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify and make
yes,
sure.
Ma'am.
And that's important. I mean, I want to hear from.
Now, we tried to get a hold of Mr. Turner. He does have property that butts up to Adams Beach as part of the property that we oversee. But if you already have Adams Beach on there, there's no point in even talking about it. I mean, if there's gaming for more land, I mean, I don't know if he's going to sell it or not, but I mean, you already have the information. But on the Clark property, it's all marsh. I mean.
Did you ever unload a boat at the ramp down there?
Sir?
Do you ever unload a boat at the
no,
ramp?
No, sir. We will not unload a boat down there because we have seen many, many situations, even if you have a low boat, kayak, it's a liability to get cut up down there. We do not. We use Cedar Island.
We have.
I appreciate your comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to move along. Hold on. Did you have something else to say very quickly? He had his hand raised, and then you, and then we're not going to have any more discussion.
The same, Mr. Turner.
You have to come back up here.
Just real quick on Mr. Turner's behalf, right there beside Adams Beach Road, I do know that his land is for sale, and it's like 80 acres, actually.
He needs to contact us then and ask us to put it on the list.
Yeah, I had spoken with him and some of the other property owners that all have property in the
between Adams Beach and Yates Creek, and they knew nothing about anything else going on.
Okay, well, it's still not to tell them to contact our county administrator and ask for it to be added to the list.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
One more, quick one.
I'm Bishop Clark. I don't have anything to do with the Clark property. My cousins and my sister's parcel. But I've come and gone out of there ever since I was this high. It's like anywhere else on Taylor County. You have to watch a tide, unless maybe you're at Keaton Beach. As far as trouble down there, I mean, yes, there's trouble. There's trouble everywhere. There was an old fish house down there, and over the years, it was burnt down one beer party at a time. You can't judge, you know, whether you're going to be bringing in a bad bunch of people. If they're already there, they're already there. But one thing about Hayes Creek is it's not like these other properties. It is already being used by the public. And my family's been nice enough to let that happen for all these years. But if it's not, you know, sooner or later, the party's going to be over. And like I say, that's just a fact.
Okay. Thank you so much. This will conclude this meeting today. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Okay. You disadjourn.
Okay.